Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, ma'am, with the golden voice, Ted Williams, Scott Spears, with you off and running Monday, January the 11th, 2021. 1-1-1-21. That's the date today, 13 minutes past the hour, and I'm going to do a little housekeeping here before we get to our first guest, because we've got a great big week of programming here on WWGH Radio. When this hour is over this morning, next hour we're going to be joined by Dr. Ronald Feynman, who's a regular guest on Glenn Coble's show on Wednesday afternoon to discuss current events going on in the world today. So Dr. Ron Feynman this morning at 9:15. And then coming up tomorrow, we're going to have an exclusive interview with 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. She will be live in the studio. I got the email this morning. She's not going to call in. She'll be live in the studio. She has talked to two people in Congress who were involved in last week's melee, and she will give her thoughts for the first time on everything that happened next week and everything that will probably happen today concerning impeachment. So Mary Ellen Withrow live in the studio tomorrow morning. Coming up on Wednesday, a lot of questions about the COVID-19 vaccine. Legendary doctor, former correspondent on the Today Show, Dr. Art Uihlein, will be along Wednesday morning to, I believe, 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning to talk about the new strain of COVID in the United States, the vaccine, the reports of people dying from the vaccine, the side effects it can have. Dr. Art Uihlein on Wednesday, and two more guests we cannot mention yet, but they will be along before Friday of this week. So pay attention for that. And to all of that. And of course, we'd be remiss if we did not mention that the Browns won their first playoff game last night. They are not in the Super Bowl yet, but who knows? Hope springs eternal. So we shall see what happens there. And another great night of football tonight as Ohio State has their big bowl game with Alabama. And we'll see what happens there. We'll be talking about that tomorrow morning with Mary Ellen and you on the toll-free line. So that is what's going on in the world on this Monday, January 11th, 2021. Still weird to say that. Joining me, though, is one of our friends here at the station. He's been coming in for quite a while now, gives us an update on what's going on locally, shares his opinions on things nationally and beyond. He is the First Ward Councilman Kai Mead. Kai, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, and go Browns for that win last night.
Well, what do you think now? Okay, we beat the Steelers. That's a rivalry. Where do you think it goes from here? We want the Browns to win, first of all, let's say that. But what do you think in actuality is going to happen?
I think that we've got a tough matchup coming up, and for sure, but I do think that anytime you've got a good running back and a good running game going, you can kind of you can really beat anybody, I think, once you have a pretty good running game. And so the Chiefs are definitely going to be tough to beat. Like, we're going to be the underdog in that game. But at the same time, I do think that the Browns kind of do have a little bit of magic surrounding them this season. So I'm not going to be the person that ever counts Browns out.
And if they beat the Chiefs, where do you think they would go from there? Who are they going to face?
Oh, gosh. Baltimore is going to be tough, but if I'm the Browns, I like my chances against Baltimore in a playoff game because Baltimore always underperforms. I can't remember who Baltimore plays, but Buffalo. Buffalo, I would definitely want to stay away from. But if we can get against Baltimore, then I think that I'd be very excited about our chances to make it to the Super Bowl if we can go against Baltimore.
You know what's interesting, before we move on to another subject here, everybody's very excited this morning if you look at social media's feed and even the news out of Columbus this morning, and they should be, that the Browns have won a playoff game. But the way the playoff system is now, unlike it used to be 30 years ago, they've still got two more games they would have to win before they would get to the Super Bowl. So it's still kind of a long way to go here.
Oh, definitely. And I think one of the things that's fun about the Browns is Ohio teams in general love being the underdog. So anytime anyone wants to say, to kind of talk trash or say, oh, Cleveland is going to lose this, or maybe they don't belong, or, and it's the same thing with Ohio State or the Cavs back in the day. I think fans and the players just, like, they love it. They just eat off it. So that's what I always, like with the Ohio State Clemson game, as soon as that Clemson coach put it out there that he thought Ohio State wasn't even a top 10 team, I was like, that's the silliest thing in the world you can do. Why would you give them a reason to come and just smack you in the mouth in a game? And that's exactly what they did. And I think Ohio teams uniquely are they just love being doubted.
And tonight, Alabama, Ohio State, what do you think?
My prediction is that it's going to be 31-28. Ohio State pulls it out tight. And I think I think our quarterback is great, but I think it's going to be because we get the running game going, and he's just been on fire lately. So I think that it's going to be a close game. Alabama's very good, but if we can keep this running game going, then we'll pull it out.
Why is Alabama always there, in your opinion? Ohio State's always there too, but Alabama is always there, always playing well. Their team, when you watch them play, it's almost like you're watching, they're unlike any other team. There's something going on in Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama's made it work, I think, longer than the example I'll give, but I remember with Kentucky with basketball, there's kind of this feeling that you go there for a year, maybe two at the most, and then you go pro. And it was just kind of like this farm system of, they go in, they get their spotlight, and then all of a sudden you play professional. And I think that does have something to do with it, because Alabama does do such a good job with the recruiting. They have a strong coach. But I do think at the end of the day, like, the recruiting is probably what keeps them over the edge, because who knows where Alabama will be 20 years, 30 years from now, because teams go through their highs and lows with recruiting. But right now they're just... they have so much five-star talent that it's ridiculous.
The one prediction I can make about tonight's game is people will be watching in big numbers. With the pandemic and the normal large numbers of people who would watch this game, not to mention coming off last night where a lot of people got together and watched this Browns game, and then for the Browns to win, a lot of momentum in Ohio for tonight's game.
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of Browns fans were very excited about this playoff game, but we were kind of worried, not sure exactly how it would go because the coach isn't there, some players are out. But then that first snap, the ball flies over Ben Roethlisberger's head, and they recover in the end zone. All of a sudden, it's 7-0, and you're like, oh my gosh, we can do this. And then it's 14-0, 21-0, 28-0. And like, it kind of just set in that, like, we're beating the crap out of this team. And so, like, we might be able to get farther and farther. But, yeah, Ohio's got the momentum right now.
Absolutely. So we'll see what happens tonight. It'll be a lot of fun, I'm sure, for people together. Now, we're going to talk, obviously, more about local politics than anything going on here, you being the first ward councilman. But I think it's very difficult, especially today, not to talk about what happened last week in the Capitol, because today it is my understanding, and we'll see what happens, that the articles of impeachment for the second time against President Trump will be brought to the floor. If you were watching the news yesterday, the vote could happen tomorrow. The vote could happen Wednesday at the latest, because they want to get it done this week. So that's history, that it looks as if, for the first time, a president will be impeached twice during their one term, let alone two terms. So before we get to the impeachment idea, what did you think last week? It was strange in a way, because we knew there was going to be a rally. We knew that was the day that the electoral votes were going to be counted. But nobody seemed to get, certainly the Capitol Police, nobody seemed to think that was going to happen. How was the ball missed on that? And when they got in there, what did you think?
I mean, to be honest, I have no clue how they missed the ball on it. But at the same time, I remember when they got in there, I was like, my feeling on it was, I was just in shock that this was happening. And I was kind of just to me, I felt like it was kind of a sad moment in American history that like that this kind of this was going on, and it was for such a partisan time. I really, when I was watching it, I wasn't worried about like, oh, this person's a Dem, this person's a Republican, they're doing this and that. I was just kind of mad that like people thought that this was appropriate, that they thought that they could go in and do this. It just came off as so unpatriotic to me that it was just, it wasn't about the politics. It was just, it was more about the, for me at least, I was just more, I guess, just mad at the situation and in disbelief that someone thought that this was like that people thought that this was appropriate and the necessary like something that they should do.
Interestingly enough, starting Thursday but really amping up over the weekend and Friday, a lot of these people are starting to be arrested who were taking the pictures and who had broken doors in and sat at people's desks and broken mirrors and vandalized things. What do you think they thought they were doing? Because I keep hearing that now we believe there might have been a planned effort to do this, mm-hmm. that they did have a plan, and that's how they were able to get in. But what was the goal?
You know, I think I don't. You never know how much of a plan someone had, and how much of it is just the way things turned out. I know I saw like people with specific T-shirts for the event and stuff like that. So there was some planning that went on, but I think some people probably walked in there with really bad intentions and with the intent to do harm, and they were looking to start trouble. And I think with other people they're probably there and they didn't expect to get that far, and then they got that far and they're like, well, what do I do now? And they just got into some stuff they shouldn't have. But at the same time, you just can't be going around doing that kind of stuff. So I think that if you break the law like that, if you get into that kind of stuff, being arrested, and I think just going through the proper channels of the law is just the appropriate action. And that's the same way I would say, same thing I would say, regardless of your party.
Do you think, because this is becoming a question now, do you think the president will pardon these people?
I don't know, because I don't know what will happen. I guess you brought up the impeachment. I don't know what's going to happen with the impeachment. But I do know that it probably hinges on a few Republican senators. And if he did that, I think it would green light a lot of people that are on the fence towards doing it. And if I were him, I would just completely stay away from it, because he can, right now he can set, right, I guess, I think he needs to separate himself as much as possible from what happened last week.
He's got 9 days left, President Trump, and this is why I want to talk a little bit about this, because today the articles, I think it's 99% sure are going to be introduced on the floor of the House. Is there any chance at this point he doesn't get impeached Tuesday or Wednesday? And again, because there's a lot of confusion about this for the public, so we just want to lay this out again. An impeachment is just bringing charges. Mm-hmm. You do have to be tried in the Senate. Obviously, by the time that would happen, the earliest that trial could start would be the 19th. It was said over the weekend. He's leaving on the 20th. So it won't be so much about getting him out of office. It will be him facing what would be a federal trial in regard to what happened last Wednesday, because that's where the majority of these charges come from, and also on if he would be able to ever run for office again in the United States. So that's what's going on. Even though we think of impeachment about removing somebody from office, yeah, that's in there. That's not going to force him out of office. But if he were to go to the Senate as a president or a non-sitting president, which most likely he will be a non-sitting president by the time that trial starts, or at least the next day, he could go to prison for federal charges unless he pardons himself this week.
Yeah, and that's a constitutional lawyer question. And although I am in my first year of law school, we have not gotten there yet. So I don't know the answer to whether or not he can, the ins and outs of all that stuff. And I think that it's one of those things where I think a lot of people have no clue what's going to happen with it, because I certainly don't.
Any chance he doesn't get impeached? Any chance that they can't pass that on to the Senate this week?
I would say it's probably unlikely. The Dems hold a majority. There's a good amount of Republicans that are a little upset at him. But, you know, we'll just have to see. Anything can happen, especially with Congress. And I never want to try to predict what's going on through their head. So I'll say that you're probably right when you say that it's pretty much a sure thing. But at the same time, I don't like to count anything until it's a done deal.
A final question on national politics before we turn locally. Nancy Pelosi was on 60 Minutes last night, and when asked about this, I thought Leslie Stahl did a great interview with her last night, asking about, you know, why do this impeachment? Because you do have to have 2/3 of the Senate to convict. He might be able to pardon himself this week away from all this trouble anyway, and Nancy Pelosi was quick to say he can pardon himself from federal crimes. He cannot pardon himself from state crimes, and that's where his real trouble is in New York, and they have been working on this. And these are criminal charges, not civil charges, and she knows that. So when he is no longer president on January 20th, do you think the state of New York will indict him? They've been working on this for a long time. Do you see that coming?
I have no clue. And I know that's not a fun answer, but I really don't know, because I don't know. I'm not as well versed in some of the stuff that he's been accused of, especially in that Southern District of New York area. So who knows? And I don't know how far along they are and if that's the long-term intent. But I don't think that it's one of those things where all of a sudden he'll be out of office and he's gone and no one ever, and then that's the end of that, this era, I think, that we've been in politically. I think that we still at the very least have a few more years of it.
It's been an interesting year in local politics because of the pandemic. The pandemic has taken front and center, almost in front of every story going on locally and some national. We did not see the amp up for the national election till much later than we would have normally seen it in a normal presidential election year. Now, when we look at things that are going on local, let's just start and run down some of these things. Last we knew, our auditor, Robert Landon, had some problem on election night when he won back in 2018. And he was charged with some things that happened in your district. It's my understanding, the first ward.
Yeah, I think that COVID has kind of pushed back the dates and have made it so we don't have an answer yet. I think they got pushed back to maybe March, but don't hold me to that. But it's just one of those things. I mean, I hope it doesn't happen again. It happened at the end of 2019, and I'd like to see it kind of to play out and be done. But at the same time, like, you do understand, like, that COVID has kind of just made everything weird. Has made it so, like, things are going longer than you would like it to. Because at this point with this case, I just want the truth to kind of be known and to be found out, and then the appropriate steps to be gone through.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the allegation and the charge was passing out material that was ballots that were highlighting Republican candidates, and you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, so it's like, so say you get just a thing on your door that says vote for this person, and it's colorful, it's got, you know, maybe my picture, someone else's picture on it, and the issues they care about, or it'll have more than one candidate on it just for the whole party. This was a black and white sheet of paper, I think printed off from the Board of Elections, that looked like a sample ballot that someone might look on online to see who's running. And the specific candidates were highlighted, and then the other candidates, including myself, their name was scratched out. And so the problem is that because you're just getting that from the Board of Elections website, is it looks like an official Board of Elections document. And so when you're passing that out, you're violating you're violating a rule that says, hey, you cannot kind of try to imitate these documents. You cannot try to you cannot put these out to the public in that manner. Now, some people might say, well, oh, it's just this piece of paper or something like that. My race was decided by a single vote.
One vote.
Yeah, one vote. So if it convinced one person or two people to switch their vote, imagine how upset like you would be if you'd put in all that work to any election and and then you lose a race because someone tried something that was at best, I guess in the most positive way to explain it, creative. So I don't hold any grudge about it or anything like that. I just want to see it go through the proper channels of the court.
Now, it's my understanding where we stand now on this is, now, worst case scenario, there could be jail time that goes along with this. Also, it could be a fine. But, interestingly enough, I believe there's been a special prosecutor appointed for this, so it's not a local person who's going to prosecute this, and it looks as if it might go to trial because Landon, at this point, I believe has said he's not guilty of this. So is there any chance it doesn't go to trial at this point? Special prosecutors being paid for, brought in, and he says he's not guilty. It doesn't look like there's going to be a deal snapped here at any point.
Yeah, I think that it is going to trial. I think at this point there is... I guess I'll just leave it at that. I do think that it's going to end up going to trial. And how it'll turn out, I don't know. Who knows? But I think that he wants to see this thing through. And whether or not it works out for him, I don't know the answer. But it's not going to be something that he just makes a deal to get himself out of.
Well, that's the issue. You know, and who knows what'll happen in the trial. What he could win, he could lose, guilty, not guilty, we don't know. We'll find out in the trial. But once you go on trial at that particular point, I think the best you can hope for at any point would be a plea deal at some point in the trial that would come with some kind of punishment that maybe could have been avoided if it wasn't going to go to trial.
Yeah, and you do, I guess you do run the risk of it's going to get a lot more attention if it goes to trial. It's just going to be politicized more probably if it goes to trial. And it's a risk. Like, from what I understand about what happened personally, I don't understand why you would want it to go to trial. But at the same time, I will caveat everything I say with, I am a 1L in law school. I do not have my law degree yet, so maybe I just don't know.
So this is something that, is it the trial would start, or there would just be more movement in March? Do we know that at this point?
I think it's the first court, they've already had their a few dates that have gone through. I think that this is the start of the trial portion. Again, I could be wrong about that, so who knows. But I do know that like they've already had a few meetings.
Now, one thing we know that's going to happen next month, February, trial wise, is Judge Warner, who's still employed by the County of Marion. He's on leave because of this whole situation that he's been through, which I think nobody doesn't know about at this point. The whole idea that did he hit and skip last May, this accident in which somebody was injured, thank goodness, did not die. He says in his arraignment that he is, and his wife, are not guilty, and was very emphatic on that day that he would not resign the position, which means he's still continuing to get paid. The trial, I believe, does start next month. The mayor has called for his resignation. Former Sheriff Bailey had called for his resignation. Matt Bales, I believe, has now said that he should resign. I don't think the county commissioners have spoken out on this yet. What do you make of this? As it's about to start.
Yeah, I think the same day, maybe the next day, as I think when the mayor said that he should resign, I also put out there, hey, this guy, we got to do something about this guy. And that he should resign. I think it's just a crazy situation. I guess from the defender aspect, like, I guess I just don't understand what facts would come to light that would make this okay. Like, I don't think that there's a lot that could change that would make anything that's happened right or okay or reasonable. Because at the end of the day, that happened and you left. And not only, like, is that just generally wrong, but you have a law degree. Like, you know firsthand the repercussions of what you're doing when you do that. So I think people are right to ask him to step down. I did it, and I can't see any facts that could come to light that would make anything that happened on that night okay.
With what you just said, being what you just said, and you know, we're not in anybody's head, and he has not spoken out to the media. He did release a statement, but it was just a statement. He still collects a paycheck since last May, continues to as we sit here. What possibly could be going through his head at this particular point? This is really an unprecedented situation in Marion. Most people who have an incident like that, when they can no longer do the job because of it, do resign. This not the case here. And when asked about it in the arraignment, was emphatic, no.
Yeah, and I guess I don't know why you wouldn't resign, but I also can't put myself in that position to do what he did. So I think that it's just he wants it to take as long as possible and it to be kind of like pulling teeth. And if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. That's fine. That's not the way I would prefer it to happen, obviously. But it's difficult to put yourself in his shoes to say, oh, this is why he's doing it. Maybe he just wants to stay there as long as he can, or maybe he thinks that he's got a strong case on some maybe it's just something that the average person doesn't think of for a reason why it's not going to be as bad for him as the general public thinks. But I'm not sure. I do think that it's ridiculous that he's still collecting a paycheck while this is going on.
Do want to talk about this because in the grand scheme of things, before we move on to some things I know you want to talk about, in the last year, the Democratic Party has faced an interesting time, to say the least. The last election, 2020, a lot of Democrats were running for office. A 16-year incumbent sheriff was running for re-election, and no Democrats won in Marion County, which made all the county commissioner seats, kept all the county commissioner seats Republican. It has now made the sheriff a Republican position. The clerk of courts is Republican. What is going on with the Democratic Party? I don't even believe, because of the change of Josh Daniels to an independent, that we can even say that they hold a majority on city council anymore. So we have a Democratic mayor. We have a split city council. We don't have a Democrat in the county commissioner seat, don't have a Democratic clerk of courts, and don't have a Democratic sheriff. What has happened in the last 4 years to the Democratic Party in Marion?
Well, I think it's a multitude of things, but I think one of the things that Democrats needs to the Democrats need to start doing more of is just showing up and being active. I think nowadays there's this idea that you meet someone, they're running for office, and the first question you ask them is, "What party are you?" And I think before that, it might have been more, all right, what do you stand for? Like, what are your issues? And then the party's included in that, but it was kind of just one piece of the whole picture. And now it's so frontline, and it's so, like, at the forefront of every conversation with the voter that, you know, you got to hold yourself and you have to hold other members of your party accountable. And about, you know, maybe it's just positions on specific issues or just whether or not you're showing up or not. And I think that that's one of the things that Democrats need to do is don't assume that you're getting any vote. You have to show up. You have to work for it. And I think that that's how you kind of push through any type of partisan wave one way or the other.
Do you think there's any hope of that changing for your party, the Democrats? Because in 2016, which I think is the last time this had happened, but in the county, we had a Democratic county commissioner and had always had to some degree at some point. I believe at one point there were, in the last 10 years, there were two Democratic county commissioners when I believe Josh Daniels and Dan Russell were there for a little, maybe a year, together at the same time. The sheriff had been Democratic for 16 years. No longer.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, could change.
The prosecutor used to be Democrat.
Yeah, it's one of those things that could change. It's not guaranteed to change, but it really just depends on the candidates we put forward, the message that we put forward, and the direction that candidates choose to take. Party control changes from every couple decades, I think, on the county level. But you have to show up, you have to put in the work, and you have to earn the vote is the thing. And right now it does lean Republican, but at the same time, I don't think people are completely shut out to the concept of electing a Democrat. You just really have to work for it.
Why do you think the margins are so large? In our gubernatorial year, 2018, we had two county offices, a county commissioner race and a prosecutor's race. The Democrats, the Democrat who ran for prosecutor and the Democrat who ran for county commissioner couldn't break 40%. And if I'm not mistaken, in the last election, the 16-year incumbent sheriff, the clerk of courts candidate, the two county commissioner candidates, none of them broke 40%.
Yeah.
It's not close.
Yeah, and I think that to a degree, there was a idea that all politics is local, and that's kind of, with technology improving and I think social media, that's become still to an extent true, but less true, to where, you know, if you're voting for one candidate at the top, you're probably voting the same way all the way down. And so right now, that does help out Republicans on the county level. But again, I think that if you just, nothing's impervious. So if you can really get in there and work, and I think you can kind of campaign your way out of that. It's not easy. It's not going to be easy probably for a while, but I think that you can just show up and listen to people, show up and you know, talk about policies that are important to them. If you show up with your own set of policies, there's a good chance they're going to say, well, you know, that's fine, but how does that apply to me? And so you really have to, for your first, I think the first thing that's important to do is just show up and listen, and then just being around. Because right now, Dems, I think on a national scale in rural areas, are just so few and far between.
When we look at this, and this is the last question in regard to this, because this has to do directly with city council, Democrats did have a majority on city council when you looked at it after the 2019 elections. One reason was because of your seat, the first ward, which was flipped from Republican to Democrat. But Josh Daniels, who had been a Democratic county commissioner, had been a Democratic city councilman, I believe early last year, social media, he made a social media post, which I believe he also sent to the Marion Star, or somehow it got to the Marion Star and printed there, and said, I'm leaving the party. I've met with the party heads. I'm not staying there. The party no longer, paraphrasing what he said, does not line up with what I believe anymore. I'm not becoming a Republican. I'm going to become an independent, but I'm not a Democrat anymore. You were there when this is all going on. What happened?
I think he was pretty open. I think just about how he felt in general about the whole thing. You know, you don't want to see that happen. But at the same time, sometimes people just have different visions for what the party's going to be. And to be fair, neither one of us have any control over it. But we have ideas of what we think the party can become. I think he thinks that the party has moved a little too far to the left. I think that there is definitely a wing in the party that is has become liberal, a little too liberal for even my liking. But at the same time, I do think that, and maybe it's just because I'm young, there's work to do, but it's not broken. You know, if we focus on rural issues, if we focus on just providing opportunities for people who want to put in work, then I don't think it's worth leaving over. But at the same time, I'm 23 in my first term, and Josh has been doing this for a very long time. So I think that we're just in different places, and I think that he probably had been thinking about this for a while.
Now, all that being said, you're on city council. What is important to you right now? What should the public know about what's going on with city council?
I think that the two biggest things, so I don't go on too far of a tangent. For one, we just passed a budget, and this is a pretty darn good budget. And the reason is, and you might see on the Marion Star or something like that, and it'll say like, oh, it's $223 or something like that, $1,000 out of whack. And that is not the best headline. It's inaccurate, because so we get about a $220, maybe $200,000.
Now explain why. Yeah, explain why people are claiming it's out of whack.
So we get a police and fire pension, think of it as like a rebate. So that $220,000 that you were under comes right back to the budget. So to the point where I think our total margin on a budget that's in the millions is like $3,000. And so we passed a very good budget. We're working on, I think, providing our safety forces with more resources, more manpower, and at the same time we're being very conservative with our budget. I think that if you can do that, then you're doing a good job locally, and the rest is just kind of icing on the cake. Now, to talk about that icing on the cake, in the first ward especially, we're doing cleanups that I think with two of them in, we did 70 tons worth of trash. We did over 600 tires. We've just done so much on that side of the ward to help get it cleaned up. We're putting together a meeting with a couple officers later this week to potentially put together a neighborhood watch, to have a community meeting to talk about speeding. Once I will say that COVID definitely kind of put the brakes on some ideas, but we've still been able to get a lot done. And once this starts to kind of lax up, there's going to be a lot of stuff we can do. Because I remember coming on towards the beginning of my term, one of the things that I really wanted to do is go have kind of town hall community meetings in the first ward to see what are people's big issues. Because obviously I talked to a ton of people and kind of found out those issues early on, but sometimes they change. And so it's always, I think, a good thing for elected officials to stay present in their ward, not just when they need a vote or something like that.
Now, this is an election year, and what's your feeling at this point?
You know,
goes by fast.
It does. It goes by very fast. It's been about, I ran on saying that I'm going to give this as big of an effort as I can. And, you know, we're going to get some things right. We're going to get some things wrong. But you will never doubt whether or not you have an active city council person. And I think that that's a promise that we've lived up to, because we've done great things with the cleanups. If you had an issue and you got a hold of me, 9 times out of 10, if I was at your door in an hour with a mask and we were taking all the precautions, but it's been, I've been working my butt off to do everything I can to bring more resources toward the first ward, make sure that streets are getting paved, to make sure that officers are there watching for speeding and other issues like that, and just making sure that when we're cutting up the pie and we're dividing up resources, that the first ward gets their seat at the table.
Will you run for first ward councilperson re-election?
Yes, I will. I'm currently passing out petitions to seek re-election.
Now, you know, I understand a lot of this is talk right now, but people do have to go up about this time, and they have to get petitions to run for office. This has to be done. That has hindered some people from running for office before, not getting the correct number of signatures or certifiable signatures. Do you know at this point, there's always talk, and we're not saying this is a confirmation of anything, but have you heard who the Republican is going to be in the first ward running against you?
You hear a couple names that get tossed out, but at the same time, I kind of don't like to go too far with it until those petitions are certified, until we know for sure. 2 years ago, we had a unique situation too with my opponent, and it changing. So,
he lost by one vote. Yeah. Is he?
He very well could. I'm not sure, but I welcome anyone to do it. I think that that's really how elected officials should be. Is, you know, I think I'm doing a very good job. I think I'm working very hard. But if someone can do it better, then someone can do it better. And we'll just have to see how it goes. I'm going to work for every vote, just as I did 2 years ago, and we'll see where the chips lay.
You know, with the auditor becoming Republican in 2019 and this trial and all the scuttlebutt that went along with it, and you, as you said, Robert Landon is a little more vocal than some auditors have been in the past on what he feels and what he thinks. What is the relationship between he and the mayor and the council at this point? Is it... We hear it's not the most harmonious relationship in the world, but is it better than it was when it started? Is it, or has it just remained a little strained?
I think to an extent it has remained a little strained, but at the same time, some of that could be due to COVID and having these Zoom meetings. I've sat down and met with him. At the end of the day, I'm just trying to do whatever I can in the best interest of the city and in the first ward. Whether if you're a Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, or anything like that, if you have the best interest of the city, I will work with you 100%.
What we don't hear a lot, what is the point of contention? What is the issue that makes that a strained relationship?
I don't know. It just it depends on the day, to be honest with you. But at the same time, I personally try to minimize those as much as possible, because you're talking about taxpayer dollars, and so I'm just trying to do what's best for the city. And if the more you can minimize contention, the more you can kind of keep everything as drama free as possible, I think it's for the best interest of the city. And I think that a lot of people in city government on both sides of the aisle feel that way. We do not want any type of contention whatsoever. We want things to be smooth. We want everything to go as well as possible.
Now, we have about 3 minutes left here, but as we look ahead to 2021, what do you want to see get done? What is something the city can do at this point that is achievable, that I know you were a big backer, if not the push behind the community cleanups that happened this past year. What do you want to see this year?
Well, I want to see more community cleanups. I think that it was very successful very low cost for the city. I'd like to see more community group involvement, so neighborhood watches, things like that. They don't all have to be around crime-related things, but just things like that. I'd like to see us do more with downtown. I liked our Dora Zone that we put forward that allows people to kind of have a beer in Founders Park. Nothing crazy, like you can't have too many of them by any means, but I think that helps drive people downtown. I'd like so more downtown stuff, and just being I think cognizant and being active in the community and active with different small businesses to say, all right, here's what you're telling us that you need help with or that you need, and what can we do to I guess produce the best outcome for you. Sometimes that's you know, having a good idea of, all right, here's what streets need repaved when we're repaving streets. Sometimes it's just being quick to respond. I think that I'm going to be putting forward something pretty soon that is a new way to talk to for constituents to speak to their city government, and I think it'll change the way if people like it, it'll change the way people speak to their elected officials and talk to government, and it'll allow people to be more in touch with those elected officials and also be more direct with what they want to see done.
A big question here with just 30 seconds left, but it has been 2020 was the year of COVID, and it doesn't look like in the first 6 months of this year we're going to be past it. How has that impacted the businesses in the first ward?
I think that it took a pretty big hit at first. I will say that in the first ward, when I think of small business, the first place I think of is apart from King Saver, but they're not a small business. Right across the street, I think of the pizza places and things like that. And I know they're under new ownership, but for the most part, I think COVID probably hit them the same as it's been hitting all small businesses across the city, which is pretty darn hard. And that's why locally we've been doing as much as we can to support them and get them the resources that they need to stay afloat, because I think times are hard for everyone, and it's just about, you know, helping each other out.
Kai Mead, First Ward City Councilman. Kai, thank you so much for coming in today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Be back in 15 minutes.
Need some help if you die. You need 12 black folks naked, I'll put them on a piece. If you need something close to the house, I'll give you that too. And then I looked at my body and I said, cancer, I ain't never bothered. I dare you to bother me. I'm gonna give you